Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Merle Exit. Oh, it's cold here today in New York. It's cold all over the country, I think. I'm hearing temperatures never heard of. I think I have to ask my friend who lives in near outside of St. Paul, Minnesota, if she'd like to head south and come to my house and stay for a little while. But anyway, today, let me explain first. 1964, there was a World's Fair here in New York City, and few places are still left over from the World's Fair, one of which is not in good shape at all. At the time, it was called the New York State Pavilion. And basically what happened is that we're going to see what we can do with this, because there's actually a group called People for the Pavilion that's trying to do something about it. And I have the co-founders of it. I'm Matthew Silva, Christian Doran, and Salman Khan. I don't know if I'll pronounce his name. Like, I don't think his name is Salmon. It looks more like Salman. So, but before I get them on, it's sponsor time. God's going
to
make
What would thing. You do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies if you go to www.brownies.com. And if it sounds like I have a cold, you're absolutely correct. But I will get through with this and open up the mics and introduce. Let's get this one open. Come on. Come on. We can do this. I'm doing this. Ah, okay. I got two phone numbers. Who do I have on here?
Matthew Silva here.
And Christian Doran.
Okay. I'm missing a third person?
Yeah, Salman couldn't make it. He couldn't make it tonight, so it's just going to be the two of us.
Oh, okay. That's okay. We could do it with you guys, just the two of you. Okay, so let's start. Are you all three co-founders, or is there one who's in charge, so to speak?
It's the three of us. There's a reason why we called it People for the Pavilion, because ultimately it's not about one person, doing this. It's all of us. It's going to take a collective effort. So that's part of the reason why we called ourselves People for the Pavilion to start.
Okay. So let me start with you, Matthew, let's explain what this pavilion is and where it came from and, what has happened with it?
Yeah, so, basically the building was constructed for the 1964 New York World Fair. It was designed by Philip Johnson, commissioned by Nelson Rockefeller, the governor at the time. And it was a place to host the greatest that New York had to offer at the time. And just after the fair, the pavilion was sold to the city, or gifted to the city, rather, and it was the city's responsibility to take care of it after the fair. They did have a loose plan for what to do with the building after the fair, but nothing ever really took, and they turned it into a concert hall for a short period of time in the late 60s. Led Zeppelin played there, The Grateful Dead played there, Fleetwood Mac, Santana, and but
was this
this
is always outdoors, correct? Covered?
Well, it did have a roof on top, a fiberglass roof, and at the time of the concerts, that roof was there. But it was mostly open air. I mean, you didn't have walls on the outside, so you had the columns open as it is today, with the cinder block walls at the bottom. But then you had this multicolored fiberglass roof. That at night they would shine light through the fiberglass, so it would glow. It really looked, in pictures at least, it looked beautiful. I mean, I never saw it in person, but after it was used as a concert hall, a couple from Cleveland that were living in New York City at the time came by the pavilion. They were competitive roller skaters, and they came over to the pavilion and said, "Hey, this would be a really great place to skate." So they called the city and figured out how to become concessionaires for the pavilion and turn it into a roller skating rink, operated as a roller skating rink for a few years before the pavilion started to shed some of those stained glass panels. Apparently one blew onto the Grand Central Parkway and the city shut them down. So pretty much after that, it got closed up and was pretty much never used after that. They did film The Wiz in there in the late 70s. And a couple of music videos and that sort of thing, but it's pretty much been abandoned ever since it was used as a roller skating rink. There's been some advocacy efforts in the past few years to try and do something with it. Frankie Campione, an architect, tried to get the city to turn it into an air and space museum about 13 years ago, and more recently there's been a group of do-gooders, volunteers from the tri-state area who did go to the World's Fair as young kids, and they took it upon themselves to show up to the pavilion and give it a fresh coat of paint, and paint it with red and white stripes and the yellow top that you see. So I started to learn about these stories a few years ago, in addition to, of course, its role during the World's Fair, and I was just really intrigued by all these really interesting, quirky kind of stories that a lot of people in New York City didn't know about. These stories were never told to me by anybody, and I had to find them on the internet. So I started to do some research. I started to make some phone calls, reach out to some of these people. A few years ago, a writer for the Daily News, Nick Hershon, he covered the pavilion a lot. So I was able to reach out to him, and I asked him basically everything I could about the building and how it came to be that way. And, one of the things that he really tried to do over the last 10 years was just cover it because nobody was. And that's really what kind of got me started and how I learned a lot about the building and learned all the sort of, offbeat kind of stories. And it led me to starting this documentary project about a year ago and eventually led me to Christian. When we decided at the time that we met, we said, we should try and organize an effort around this, and that eventually led us to actually hooking up with the New York Landmarks Conservancy, which is supporting us through this process, and one thing led to another. We got together with Salman, and we planned this event, which just took place this past Saturday, which was a really, in our opinion, a very successful evening. We had over 200 people come out to the Queen's Theater, brave the cold, and listen to our presentation about our plans for the near future and the distant future, and shared ideas. It was really cool.
I just want to, by the way, I also wanted to throw in that people will remember, will see this for the movie The Men in Black.
Yeah.
That's often how I describe all the work I've been doing to people
who don't know otherwise.
Yeah, but also the part you left out, which I would not expect you guys to know because you didn't go to the World's Fair. The big deal about that place was the ride. That you got to go in it and ride to the top, and you can see the whole World's Fair from the top of it.
Right, the towers.
Yeah, so now
the towers have been described to me. You know, I guess maybe this is a generational thing. I mean. The elevators were on the exterior of the structure, and it was like a glass bubble. It has been described to me by people. It was kind of scary going up the elevators because you felt like almost like you were going to fall out. So I guess, yeah, it certainly probably felt like a ride almost, because normally when you're in an elevator, it's an enclosed cabin. But yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting point.
And the only other place that's actually, and I'm not sure in terms of height, remains. If you ever see, there's a place called Terrace on the Park. Had you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Across
sure.
the, on the other side.
Terrace
on the Park was also left over. Mm-hmm. And originally that was, I believe that was a heliport.
Yeah, it was the Port Authority's pavilion, and it was a place for kind of like the elected officials and stuff like that. And, yeah, it was a heliport. It was where all the dignitaries would fly in from the city and other places to then enter the fair. So.
Yeah. So I think really in terms of the public, the only real opportunity that he got to see it at any height was that by going to the State Pavilion to see, the whole fair. But anyway, so let's get back to a lot of other things. That have to do with the thing. I don't know if there's more than one. Is there only one now left over from the 39 World's Fair? Only one building?
There are a couple of monuments and statues and stuff like that, but the only building that I can think of that was left over from the 39 Fair would be the Queen's Museum now,
yeah.
Which was the United States, right? The New York City Pavilion, rather. It was the New York City
right.
Pavilion. And that became an ice skating rink for a period of time, and then recently, of course, was renovated into now the new Queen's Museum. It was Queen's Museum of Art. Now it's just the Queen's Museum.
Right. And it was also the first United Nations building, too.
Right, right.
Yes.
So there's still a lot of history in that park, and the only thing that's, it's interesting because the only other structure that was left over from the 39 World's Fair, I believe, something in this area where there was swimming, something near the lake. There was something at the lake, and they took it down. It was an amphitheater.
Yeah, the Aquacade.
Yeah, and that right, and that was from way back, and they finally, it wasn't too far back that they demolished that and set that up for. I think.
Yeah,
that's one of the
concerns that people feel like a lot of people say that Aquacade was there one day and it was gone the next day, and people are nervous that the same might be, the same fate might fall upon the New York State Pavilion, and hopefully we'll be a part of stopping that from happening.
Yeah, I had heard, and I'm most likely wrong. I had heard that it cost too much to take it down.
Well, the Parks Department recently did a study and had their own specialists in there, and they got data and numbers on how much that would cost to take down, preserve, and ultimately reuse. And their data came out to 14 million to take down. I believe it was 43 million to just make structurally safe. And then it was another 73. It would have been 73 million to repurpose into a concert venue and performing arts center. So yes, it is. It would be a great deal of money to repurpose, and but also to take down as well. It would cost them a lot of money. So that ultimately, that's sad to say, that's part of the reason why it's still standing today. And they haven't made any decisions, and haven't made any decisions on it. So
what would what happened? So let's get to the event itself. So let's hear what. What was your movie about?
Well it's not complete yet. I started the film about a year ago. It was actually February of 2013 that I actually started filming. And I conducted interviews throughout the summer and through the fall, and I have a trailer out, and actually a Kickstarter which launched on Saturday. I'm trying to raise some of the funding for post-production, but the mated delivery of the project is going to be in the fall, trying to coincide with the anniversary of the fair, the 50th anniversary of the fair. And basically what the project is going to be, it's just a chronological description of the building, and from the fair through the period of the concert venue, the roller skating rink. I went out to Cleveland and interviewed the woman who operated as a roller skating rink, and just kind of bringing all this information together, because when I started to research the structure, I learned quickly that nobody had ever written a book about the building. Nobody had ever made a film. There was all this information out there. Some of it was not accurate. It was just this really interesting story that wasn't compiled in one spot where somebody that was interested, if someone was interested, they couldn't just go and find this information. They had to really, really dig for it. So the purpose of the project was to bring it all into one place, easily accessible, and to, of course, raise interest to then possibly do something and save the building. So it's not done yet. The film is not done yet. It's going to be several months before it is complete. But certainly I'll let you know when it is done.
Well, what I'd like to now get into is, now that you had the event, can you give me some feedback or tell me, like, what people were there and what they said? Who were there?
Yeah. So our purpose for the event was to really just announce our existence and our plan and what we're about and what we're trying to do, which at this point and the foreseeable future is to build our organization and create relationships and outreach to the community. So we gave a presentation about our immediate goals and how we plan to achieve them. As Matthew said earlier, there was over 200 people there, which was great considering it was snowing and very cold. So we got lucky in that area. There was nothing but positive feedback. A lot of supportive people, and we spoke to a lot of them afterwards. We had a small reception, and we got to talk to a number of them, and everyone was very positive, and they were very happy that we've put this organization together and that we're trying to make something happen.
Can you name names and tell me what they said? You don't have power.
well,
paraphrase.
We can say, first of all, the New York Landmarks Conservancy was there. There were people from Open House New York there. People from the National Trust for Historic Preservation. There were certainly people sent from a variety of organizations that were interested in what we were doing. There was a rep from Linda Katz's office, and a couple of members of Queens Community Board 7, and actually Kim Ohanian, one of the vice chair people of the community board, spoke to us after the meeting and said that she is interested in writing a resolution with our organization to then get other community boards to sign on to that resolution so that we can basically form a pact to preserve the structure and show solidarity in going forward to the borough president and then eventually to the mayor to say, hey, you know, people want this structure to stay. And we should also mention that the Parks Department is holding listening sessions, actually held a listening session yesterday afternoon and is holding two tomorrow. And certainly your listeners we encourage your listeners to go. And we're going to have a presence there as well. I mean, we were there yesterday, and I can say that the response was overwhelming to save and preserve the structure. A lot of people have a lot of unique ideas for what to do with it, but invariably people want it to be preserved and want it to be preserved 100%, meaning some of the suggestions that the parks had made, you know, they were asking, do you want one of the structures? Is it okay if the towers stay and we get rid of the Tent of Tomorrow, the rotunda area? And everyone basically spoke up and said, no, it's not one or the other. It has to be the whole structure, which is encouraging. And the Parks Department really does seem to be looking to listen to the public, and we certainly as an organization look to align with the Parks Department and with other community organizations and community boards, of course, and council people to make sure that that is something that happens, because it is something that the public wants. That is for certain. So,
what ideas did people come up with, if any?
Well, the ideas ranged, from, you know, making it a concert hall, making it a food court type situation, a space that could be a multi-purpose space, something where you could host even proms and stuff like that there. But also what was kind of neat is people were making suggestions about short-term fixes. You know, like one of the things that Christian had mentioned before, the parks had released this study saying that it was going to cost, you know, $50 million to just stabilize it, but you still can't access it, and that was going to be $70 million to repurpose it into some sort of use. Well, people at the meeting were suggesting, well, why do you have to invest $70 million in one shot at the building? You know, why not do little by little? If you can't do the whole big project, we'll just do small things. So some people were saying, well, why not paint the structure? If you give the structure a really good coat of paint, that's going to help preserve it for a period of time until eventually maybe there is more money. Plus, if you paint it, people are going to see it. It's going to look better. People are going to have a better opinion about it, because right now it just looks like blight. One of the other things that people said overwhelmingly, really, was to set up lights, light it up at night so that you can actually see it from the highway. Again, that's something that will help beautify it and also get people to see it and get people to think about it. Because right now when you drive past it at night on, you know, along the Grand Central or the Long Island Expressway, you can't even see it. It fades into the darkness. I mean, especially if they do not light the Unisphere, if they happen to not light the Unisphere one night, you simply cannot see it. So those were some of the short-term ideas, the less expensive ideas that were kind of neat. And parks seemed really interested in it. One of the other things that was brought up at the meeting yesterday was to organize hard hat tours, which would be really cool. So through an organization like Open House New York, which gets some of these places open, people certainly want to get into the building. Unfortunately, people do get into the building illegally at this point anyway, which is a safety concern, of course. But the idea was, of course, there's a liability there, and that was one of the concerns that the parks people had, and rightfully so. But I do know that about a year ago, the High Line did the equivalent to hard hat tours of the unfinished portion of the rail line. And you had to register to go, and you had to sign up, and you had to sign a waiver, and you had to be of a certain age and stuff like that. And so they were at least open to entertain the idea of possibly doing something like that. They didn't, you know, of course, commit to anything, but that was something that was talked about at the meeting, which was kind of interesting. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, well, certainly take a lot of effort and time. And as you were talking about the things like, in terms of like concerts, I mean, you have, unless you're doing purposely outdoor concerts, I mean, you have the concert, you have the theater right there.
Right.
And food-wise, you, in terms of like you say with proms and stuff, I think Terrace in the Park is utilized for catering.
Right.
I believe.
Yeah, they are.
You know, so I guess people have to come up with something that's not kind of already there, I guess.
Right.
Although I wouldn't know. I just want the ride.
Well, you know, and that's kind of the thing, too, is like, you know, a lot of the people in the community have these ideas, and certainly we have our own personal opinions of maybe what should be there, and maybe it varies. You know, I know for me, I have a few ideas of what might go there. But, you know, again, you know, I'm not an architect, and even architects won't come up with the idea that it should be. So, again, one of the things that we want to do is after securing its preservation, ensuring that it is going to endure, we want to organize an ideas competition that is going to allow people of all ages, you know, elementary school kids, college students, professional architects, to take on the challenge of redesigning the New York State Pavilion. And with that project, if we can flood the airwaves with hundreds of ideas for what it could be, and then present that to the community, present that to the elected officials, capture the imagination of the community, hopefully that will propel interest in this project. One of the things that, one of our goals as an organization is to do public programming like these sorts of things to get people interested in it, raise the profile of the building, and make it sort of a trendy thing to be a part of, the cool thing to be a part of. I mean, you know, make it the thing that people want to join to make a space that will endure for generations, and that the community can cultivate and make it a sustainable space for the city of New York, the residents of Flushing and Corona, and, you know, et cetera. So that's ultimately where we see this going.
And by the way, because of the darkness there, you can film another movie called Men in Black and Black.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So what is you think would be the next step? Now, you're going to be attending... You'll be attending these talks that the parks are going to do?
Yes, we will. We will have a presence there. There's one tomorrow morning from 10 to 12 p.m., and then there is another from 7 to 9 p.m. So, absolutely, we encourage everyone to go and be a part of that and opinions. But also, this year is the 50th anniversary of the World's Fair and the building of the New York State Pavilion. So, the institutions around the park and in Queens are all, you know, they've all come together to create programs revolving around the 50th anniversary and just try to take full advantage of the what they can create around the anniversary. So, us also as an organization are looking to have public programs around the 50th anniversary and just take as much advantage of the buzz around the World's Fair so that we can, you know, outreach to the community and get as many people involved as possible.
So who, do you know who's, like, doing this 50th anniversary? Like, is it the Parks Department?
Well, the Queens Economic Development Council is coordinated it, but there's, we were part of the meeting, and there was people from, for example, the Noguchi Museum, the Queens Museum, the Hall of Science, the Botanical Gardens, Queens Museum, Queens Theater, so and among many others. So it's a lot of Queens institutions and cultural centers.
But I guess they'll all kind of do their own thing. But in terms of like I guess I should get in touch with the.
Well, there are going to be a bunch of different things happening throughout the 50th anniversary, and I do know yesterday at the meeting, the parks meeting, they did mention that from April through October, they're going to be doing a variety of things, which they'll be publicizing as the year goes on. But one thing that they did actually announce yesterday is on April 13th, there's going to be a free festival. They invite everyone to come, of course, and it's going to be some sort of a fair. There weren't a whole lot of specifics about it, but there is going to be some sort of fair happening, I guess games and things like that. I'm not sure if there's going to be any rides or anything like that, but there'll be food vendors and that sort of thing. So you know, they were encouraging us to share that and you know, family fun sort of a day. So,
so I guess we can kiss off a ride on the pavilion.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, this should be quite interesting. I'm going to get in touch with them and see, like, what the kind of things are going to be happening. I mean,
certainly, if you can go to one of those, meetings tomorrow, you're going to have direct access to them and it's certainly a good informational meeting to be at and to be a part of. So, you know, you should go.
can you give me, like, who's holding the meeting, et cetera, and all that?
Yeah,
it's at Queen's Theater in the park, right next to the New York State Pavilion. It's in their cabaret room.
So they're having a meeting at the Queen's Theater?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And who's heading that discussion?
Janice Melnick, the Flushing Meadows Corona Park Administrator.
Janice, what is her name?
Melnick.
Okay. I have a cold, so I'm not going to be able to go, but I can at least call her on the phone at some point after and say, "So how did it go, lady?" Oh, but that's good. You think like, wow, April, and then you know, like, wait a minute, we're at the end of January already.
Yeah,
coming up.
That's not too far. But I forgot about 50th anniversary. Huh? Then I can figure out when. Now I know when I went. Figuring my age, now I know when I went to the World's Fair. Yeah, just like yesterday. You know, before the World's Fair, I remembered. I just got a flashback that I went to the Queens Museum because at that time I believe they had the ice skating rink was there even before the 64 World's Fair. That they had an ice skating, and as a matter of fact, I think. I'm getting a flashback that they had both an ice skating rink and a roller rink. I guess they didn't know what to do with it after they built the United Nations building, you know? So I think that's what I seem to remember it, because I remember my father schlepping us, you know, like, we're going to go ice skating. Yeah, where? And he schlepped us from the Bronx to go ice skating there. That's I got to get a flashback of it. So it would be interesting. Actually, that would be a good thing to put out there to my audience, and I'll throw it out there on the newspaper, too, who has thoughts of what can be, you know, what can be done.
We encourage people to visit our website, www.nyspavilion.org. Right now we have just basically a splash page up that has some of the links to our other social networks. So like we have, you know, the Twitter and the Twitter feed going, and we have some videos on Vimeo, an Instagram feed, and Facebook. So we have a Facebook group and a Facebook page. So certainly a lot of people have been getting on those pages and sharing their World's Fair memories, their World's Fair pictures, and basically just their memories of going to Flushing Meadows, too. So people have shared pictures through the 70s and 80s, and you kind of get to see how the park evolved over the last 50 years. And people share their memories of the 39 Fair. You know, it's a really interesting community. In fact, there are people who are collectors of all kinds of World's Fair memorabilia and also diggers for lesser known or more rare, rather, relics of the fair. So you may remember those lamp posts that were scattered all over Flushing Meadows, those multicolor square-ish. And a lot of them are scattered all over the country. Some of them, I think, were taken to some place in Pennsylvania that now is closed down, some sort of country club or something like that. And some people have them in their backyards and stuff. I actually came across a picture that somebody posted once of the monorail cars all rusted out, sitting in a field somewhere, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, this whole community has come alive through this whole process, and it's just been really interesting to watch. So certainly, you know, we encourage people to visit our website and, you know, get onto our social networks and participate in the conversation, basically.
That's great. Well, as I'm going to follow up on this and also, you know, get an article into the newspaper, and, we'll keep on this, you know, as things progress. There's always, you know, like something to say. It'll be interesting to get people's feedback when they're doing their 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, just people, like, sharing their memories. You come to the State Pavilion, they might actually want to do something right next to the pavilion where they have just something set up to share your memories, and you put it, write it down and put it in a box there. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, I so appreciate you guys calling in and sharing this information.
Anytime. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and as I said, I'll follow up on this.
Very cool. It was really nice talking to you.
All right. Have a great evening, guys.
Okay.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, New York State Pavilion. That's what it was. And it was, all I remember is the ride. I don't remember anything else about it, you know. Before I go, Keiko Matsui is going to be coming into New York. And I want you to hear one of her songs. Oh, yeah. The road. Yes. She's going to be a BB King's. Okay. Well, that's time to end this show. I hate to show end it with my intro song, but, yeah, heck, that's my song. So until next time, have a great day, evening, or whatever. Stay warm. I have to say stay warm because it's, all of a sudden it's now, then it's going to get hot out, and I'm, you know, we're going to say, oh, I wish it was cold, so at least I could put clothes on, and okay, whatever. Okay, there we go. Let's get this here. Music intro. Bye, everybody.